I could hear you.
Good, thank you. It
appears that butter.
Okay. Appears that the dial-in gateway isn't working again. So I think we're going to have to seriously consider moving off of Manu's system to maybe Zoom or something. So right now you can only connect with SIP.
I am on the dial-in right now from my phone.
I don't know. I dial, and I've tried it several times, and it won't answer. Maybe there's just a limit or something. I mean,
I had a very clean experience on my connection minutes ago.
I'm going to take a second and try one more time because this is, well, whatever, it's working. I don't know what's going on. I tried like for 5 minutes. I'll make it work. Okay, so our agenda today is here. Apologize for the short notice of the agenda. The chairs have been traveling. We're taking care of other things, so we're a little behind in our own work here. The sort of high-level overview is that we want to talk about some post-rebooting Web of Trust discussions. In particular, there's appear to be some effect on work items that is being suggested, and we want to talk about, the process and, you know, what things should advance into the W3C process and go from there. I know we have kind of an ongoing agenda item on the ABNF. I don't know if we'll have time for that. If there is time, we'll add it to the end. Okay, so as usual, we have our typical IP note. Anyone can participate in these W3C community calls. However, if you've not agreed to the group's IP policy, we cannot consider substantive contributions. This is to protect everyone. There are minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call that are archived. We use IRC to queue speakers. If you're not connected to IRC right now, we recommend you either do so, or if you can't because you're on a dial-in without a computer, please speak up if you want to be in the queue. All attendees should type present plus to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. Be brief as possible so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always queue plus in again. We need a volunteer to scribe. We keep a list online so that we hopefully don't repeat people. Who is here today? I'm just going to go through the list. So Benjamin Young is at the top of the list. Bodon. Chris Weber.
Yeah.
Do we have a volunteer? Bodon, are you up for being a scribe this?
No, sorry. My typing skills in English are not that good to be a scribe.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Dan Pape. David Chadwick. Are you in the call today? Again, we have a call for scribes. David Lane. Dimitri Zagi Doolin. Apologize for pronunciation.
Sure. Hey, no worries. I'll try. This is Dimitri.
Okay, thank you.
What's the invocation? Is it Skrubnik or Skrubnik? Thank you.
I think that's right. I'm always messing it up myself. Okay, so continuing on the agenda, we always do to introduce themselves. Is there anybody new who's not been at a call before?
How about this? Jonathan Holt. I work closely with Johnny Crutch.
Welcome. Yes. Okay, and we also do reintroductions, which allows for the newer members to hear about the older members. Dan, I think you're next up on the list. Dan Burnett, are you here?
I am. Yes. So
why don't you reintroduce yourself?
Absolutely. Okay, so I am one of the co-chairs of the Verifiable Claims Working Group, which is working on the Verifiable Credentials data model specification. I got involved, a few years ago, actually out of personal interest, because I love the idea of solving the problems that people claim they need identity for, but without actually requiring strong identity, instead starting it with the credentials and moving up. I had my own standards consulting business for a number of years, and then last year joined Consensus full-time.
Well, thank you very much. It's been great to have a new member here. Continuing on the agenda, announcements and reminders. So right now, the only thing that's face-to-face in the near-term future is IIW, which is April 30th through May 2nd in Mountain View. If you're interested, the URL is internetidentityworkshop.com. Any other announcements or opportunities for face-to-face or other that we need to be adding to our queue?
So, Christopher, this is Kim. I'm not on IRC yet, but I want to add, I'll clean up the announcements reminders page to remove the obsolete ones, but I think the NO conference in Las Vegas, quite a few people from this group are going to be there. So that is, I think, March 23rd-ish in Las Vegas. So I'll add that to the announcements reminders page.
Okay, moving forward, we have progress on action items. It's been a couple of weeks since we met last, so this may be out of date. But we use GitHub, our community repo, to manage issues and plan for our event. So we have sort of these four action items for review. The updating ABNF for DIDs, a lot of that discussion continued at rebooting, but obviously did not involve the whole community. So any suggestions from there need to be discussed in either on the list or in a public forum such as this. We will either talk about it at the end of the day, or we will end of this call today, or we will schedule a dedicated meeting on it again. The linked data key format registry administrivia. Kim, what's the story on that one? We don't really have a need
remember.
For it.
I ended up tagging Manu on that? I can't see
her. So, yeah, Manu has commented 28 days ago that we have a registry, but we need to extend that registry to include key formats. So I'm going to sign Manu for now. We need to document and clear that.
Manu's on the queue.
Manu, go ahead.
we have another registry discussion to have. Now is probably not the right time to have it, but
Manu, we'll do that in the work items. I plan to bring up that one as an example. So,
All right. Yep, understood. I'll take that one. I have no ETA on when I'm going to be able to get around to do that.
Okay.
And would love if somebody else leapt in front and took that as an issue that they drive forward.
No, I'm happy since I'm elbow deep in the queues anyways. I'm happy to take that item.
Okay. Oh, cool. Who was this that was speaking?
Dimitri.
That was Dimitri.
Okay. Got you. So I will add you and clear Manu. It was obviously not the right way to do that. Okay. And then finally, we have the
Chris, I'm on the queue.
Two items. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. I just on the ABNF, I wanted to invite Drummond. I know he just joined on IRC. I'm hoping he's on the call. There were some questions. I think Michael Herman raised them on GitHub about the ABNF work. And he was a little off put that he couldn't join us at rebooting. So I was hoping I'd get Drummond to chime in as to what the status of that paper is that represents the work coming out of rebooting.
Drummond, go ahead.
Oops. Ah.
We can hear you.
Oh, Drummond, we hear you struggling.
I was struggling with my mute button on my friggin' phone. Sorry about that.
Who's winning?
Who's winning? Exactly. I've actually shared several private messages with Michael Herman because I think he misunderstood what we were trying to do there, which was just advance the work and bring it back here to the CCG. And I think he, for some reason, felt like we had gone off and, done an end run around the CCG. And I was flabbergasted that anyone would have that reaction. But in any case, the whole idea is, in fact, to bring it back here. And also, I want to propose, as we have done before, I think to complete a community draft spec, we're going to need to have some special calls, dedicated calls, hopefully not more than a couple, but we've had to do this a few times before. And I think it will be tremendously helpful to do it again because, just like before, there'll be open to anyone on the CCG that wants to attend. I think we've done them on Thursdays before. I'd be happy to help organize them. I can't do one this Thursday, but I can do, I think, every Thursday the rest of the month. So anyway, that's my quick report. Again, we made progress there, but we need to bring that back and have a discussion here, obviously, either on this call or on a series of special did spec calls.
Cool. Okay, so I would love to see that happen.
I'm also on the call. Can I queue plus, please?
Sure, go ahead.
So I think there was just poor communication in the end.
Wait,
of it.
This, one sec. Who's this speaking?
It's Michael Herman.
Michael Herman.
Okay, thanks.
Some poor communication, and Drummond and I have had some side conversations, and we're going to talk again at the end of the week. I guess in short, I'd like to advocate a process where we actually look at DID URL use cases and use that to drive the grammar. We seem to be trying to create a grammar and then using that to drive capability and function. So there is a... I'm not online. I'm actually in a parking lot in Bells Falls, Washington. I'm not online. Otherwise, there is a URL where I suggested a few steps to drive the initial set of did URL use cases, and then use that to drive the grammar, just like you'd build a software project. Okay. But I'll just leave that comment for now.
Okay, so I do encourage you guys to, take this to special meetings. I'm not sure we want, I think the chairs were a little concerned about dedicating multiple more meetings of the main group on it. We certainly would love you to report back to the main group when you're ready, so that other people can hear about the challenges and what your solutions are. But I would like to see that happen. Jonathan, you're in the queue.
Yeah, I think also just to specify or distinguish between the ABNF rules for the, as Drummond says, the naked did versus the full URL versus the did resolution spec. So I think, if we can just agree upon each of those either as separate issues and tackle them or in a holistic view, it'll be very helpful. And there's also the struggle of each method, did methods actually having their own ABNF right. And ways to approach it.
Sounds good. So I don't want the queue to fill up with people wanting to clarify things here. So keep it short. Next is Ken.
Yeah, I was just going to get on to say that one of the use cases was my own. That was the need for immutable data references was part of the motivating factor in working on that to try to accommodate that use case. And so it is use case driven.
Okay. Manu, we'll close with you on this.
To underscore the use case driven thing that Ken and Michael mentioned, we did at rebooting collect a number of use cases for the did ABNF, so collected use cases for did ABNF from rebooting WebAttrust 8 at SynIRC there. So if you go to the link, we have a number of use cases, and I think Ken and Drummond took actions to kind of chase down some of the other folks that had use cases around the new service descriptions and stuff for the did syntax. So anyway, Michael, just to underscore, I think we are taking a use case, documenting the use cases and taking a use case-based approach now.
Yeah, there's different levels of use cases. I guess I'll just ask people to look at issue 32 in the did resolution repo, and that's where I've been documenting. I think I'm up to 7 or 8 categories of actual did URL use cases. I'm being very specific. Did resolver, did URL use cases, where we're actually talking about, the character strings that represent actual did URL.
Okay. Okay, so I again, I look forward to hearing the results from your guys' sort of side meetings on this and to bring it back to the community. Finally, in our we had the security and threat models of DIDs and the JWK crypto specifications, which were both Ryan's items. Ryan, are you here today? I think Ryan is still traveling, so we'll skip that for now. So that's it for the review next. Basically, each week the chairs look through a variety of the action items in the community, and we try to pick 3 or 4 to review. We will pick a different set next week. Continuing along on the agenda, the next agenda item is on the new work item process. Because of rebooting and, of course, the new year, we have a variety of potential new work items that we'll need to approve and process over the next year. What I'm going to share right now is a rough draft. We're still working on final details to propose to everybody, but the basic strategy I'm going to model through Manu's proposal around a need for some verifiable claims, ongoing registry stuff. So So the first thing that Manu did was he basically posted a proposal to the mailing list, basically saying, hey, there's a need from the VCWG to do this, detail a little bit about it. Then you should allow for some time for some mailing list discussion. So one of the things that emerged out of that was it's going to be a bunch of repos, and it sounded like maybe it settled on it being a single repo, and there were some other considerations. Once there's been enough discussion that you guys, that you're sure that this is exactly what you want to do, we have created a template in the community folder for a CCG new work item. So basically you just go to issues, post a new one, and you'll see the option of the template. The template has all of the information that you need to fill out. So if you look at what it looks like, you just go to new issue, CCG new work item template, and it basically asks you for an abstract or draft, a Google Doc or a GitHub repo, of what you're doing so far, and then the owners of this particular project, in particular one lead, and at least one other owner, ideally including their GitHub username. So that's all in the template. That is automatically marked as a proposed work item in this, it's automatically tagged as a proposed work item, and that allows us to schedule a call on that work item. So when we have a call, we'll have a discussion about the work item. There might be some changes. It might be just straightforward. Let's do it. We'll send a final call on about that work item to the list. And if it meets the criteria and there are no significant objections, it will be officially a work item 1 week after the call discussions. So I know this is a little involved. We tried to simplify it as much as possible. But we basically have more work items than we can really do. We want to make sure that we know who's responsible when work items stall, or we have other things, or we just don't have critical mass to start one. We want to be able to keep them until there is critical mass. So that's the basic idea of the work process. And Jonathan, go ahead.
So my question really is just about how does the idea of a registry scale? So if you have, I certainly think the semantic interoperability for the credential for a bachelor's degree, and we need to actually have a terminology to describe that, but as the domains expand, is it all going to be done by registry, or is there any way for the community to create the semantics for, let's say, my use case of vaccinations or board certifications or credentialing for maintenance certification, etc.?
I absolutely do believe that there's a role for schema in the as a work item for the community group. I'm not sure that that's precisely a registry, but I think there are issues of, the other kinds of registries that we're talking about how they scale. So it's a legitimate question. Joe, you're next.
I'm going to interrupt what I was about to say. I think somewhere we have a registry where you should be able to refer to that external work, Jonathan, in that a separate entity can come up with the schema and register it in a registry. I share your concerns about scalability, which really gets to my main point, which is we have far too many work items than we have been able to facilitate. Co-chairs we're trying to optimize this process, make it easy, but also all these projects need leads, and we're going to start holding those leads accountable, including myself. I have a couple of work items that they've fallen by the wayside. And so we're going to need to filter and make sure, either the work items are moving forward or we can take them off our list so we can focus. Our near-term focus is absolutely on getting the DID working group chartered. But these other thing like the registries, we feel it seems like we're the right place to try and chaperone that. but I just want to let people know I'm concerned about our workload and we need people to step up and help do the actual work, not just propose work items.
Thank you. Bern?
Yes. so this is a little bit of a surprise. I sent an email already requesting the registry work. Are you saying that I now need to also go and fill out the form?
Yes, although I think your thing is straightforward. I think it, your proposal already has had a couple of minor tweaks, which I think is why we want to, to have what you've done so far is exactly right. But we do want to hold a specific discussion on that, which we might do next week.
Okay. So the only other thing I wanted to say about it is that, you pointed out that you want to keep the focus on getting a DID working group. I'll actually just point out that the VCWG was spawned out of this credential CG, and this is actually an important and necessary item for completing the VCWG work, which needs to happen before the DID work. So I want to make sure that the focus on DIDs doesn't end up being an excuse not to complete items or not to have people work on items that are critical to actually getting the prior work completed.
Thank you. It's a fair warning, and I appreciate the we're not forgetting VCWG. So, Justin,
okay.
You're next.
Yeah, I just wanted to raise the question of what does it mean for a data item or a resolution schema or, any of these things really to not be in the registry? Does that mean just that, say, the universalresolver.io implementation will refuse to acknowledge it? Does it mean that people might have namespace collisions? Does it mean, what is the registry actually getting us in terms of formality, in terms of interoperability, and in terms of just sort of community agreement? And how much can I, as an implementer, ignore it?
Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, so just to answer that directly, Justin, because that question, there's variations of that question that keep coming up around the registries that the community group is effectively shepherding. They're meant to be human right now. This may change in the future, but right now they're meant to be human readable only. They're meant to be kind of a place that implementers can go to find out all the other work that's kind of happening in the area. They're kind of a human readable thing that people can look at and go, oh, it's been expanded in ways XYZ or ABC, and then they can go and look at it. You are not penalized at all for not being in the registry. It's more of a voluntary thing. So right now it's meant to be kind of a low-key thing. There shouldn't be any kind of fights over what goes in and doesn't go into the registry. There's a fairly low bar to entry if you want to get into the registry. And then to speak to Jonathan's question, with respect to the verifiable credential registry, if they're market vertical specific things, we expect that work to happen in the market vertical specific groups, right? The credentials community group does not have expertise when it comes to healthcare, does not have expertise when it comes to supply chain and all that kind of stuff. So we expect all that work to happen elsewhere. And then eventually, if those other communities want to put their stuff in the registry, we can put it in there. So again, these registries are lightweight. They're advisory, they're human readable. Implementers can ignore them if they want to, but we don't suggest doing that.
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, to build on that a little bit, so Manu didn't mention namespace, but they are there to deal with namespace collision issues. And to Dan's question, clicking through the link was just the presentation, and so I see five different registries there, and I'm not sure who's lead on making sure what the process is for each of those registries. So that's part of why we came up with this, because we know already for the DID method registry that we're having debates about the HTTPS DID method. And so someone needs to be on the hook for taking the lead to help us find consensus on those process issues for each and every registry. Otherwise, it falls by default to the CCG leadership, and it's not going to be dealt with the level of attention I think these registries deserve. So one of the things we need to figure out is this one proposal for one work item to create five registries, or is this five work items for five new registries? And that's not clear yet, hence the opportunity to fill out the form and put some leads in that process.
So I also wanted to add, you know, I agree with the general lightweight and avoid namespace, and anybody can register that is, you know, with a reasonable thing. I think that there will come a time when we add a field in here, which is the conformance level. So I believe that is you know, another issue. So when, you know, anybody can do a DID method, but once or just like with verifiable claims, anybody can say that they're supporting verifiable claims. But in order to credentials, sorry, I'm an old timer already. but when it comes to lists of things that are conform specifications, conform with the test suites, et cetera, that is going to mean that there will be higher bars for some of the conformance things. So right now, everybody, there is no conformance test for DIDs. Everybody is preliminary. But as the spec advances, as the community advances, we may create higher criteria. And that's the area where we might become more restrictive, that if you want to say you're conforming to a W3C DID, we're going to say you're not when we have conformance tests to that. So, but that's down the line. We'll that'll evolve. Queue. Okay, the queue is empty. Oop, man, go ahead.
Sorry. Noting that the verifiable credentials registry, whatever we end up calling it, is kind of critical path.
Manny, you disappeared.
Oh, can you hear me? Audio?
I can hear you, Manny.
Okay.
Hear you.
Okay, great. So noting that the verifiable credentials, whatever registry, is critical for the verifiable credentials spec to make progress. I think it might be you, Christopher.
I had to log out and log back in. I didn't hear what you said. Sorry.
Verifiable credentials registry, important. We need to do it as soon as possible. Dan, would you mind taking the lead on that, and then we can work offline, or someone else from the verifiable credentials group needs to volunteer to do that.
And we can definitely schedule it as a discussion for next week's meeting.
Okay, so you know, I can I can definitely. I mean, my plan was to send an email to the VCWG list asking for a lead volunteer. I can always put my name on it, but ultimately I'm going to need someone else to take that.
We understand.
Yep.
Okay, so moving forward to the next agenda item, which is the discussion about the rebooting Web of Trust. So there are 25 items that came out of rebooting Web of Trust. We're not saying that any of these items need to advance in any way to this group. But if you are thinking about that, then is my line still copy?
It settled down, but it was choppy when he started.
Okay. So I know that there were some people that were intending, going, gosh, this really ought, this discussion, once finalized, should move to the W3C. So I wanted to give an opportunity for people who wanted to give a report out. This is not, a work item discussion. This is a, hey, we think there are some good things that happen at rebooting and that the CCG ought to know about because we might want to move it at some point to the CCG. So I wanted to allow that discussion to happen. And if it's short, we'll move on to another item. Go ahead, Manu.
Right. Sorry, I'm trying to find the. Okay, so there are two things that happen kind of around rebooting. One of them is the W3C Strong Authentication and Identity Workshop report was published like right before rebooting. So if people wanted to read up on what happened at the workshop and some of the findings. That's useful. The most important one was, I'm trying to find the one around decentralized identifiers and verifiable credentials. So as all of you know, there's a advance notice for a charter in process for the decentralized identifier work. And as a result of that, a number of us got together at rebooting and worked on a large list of items on the DID spec with a with huge thanks to Amy Guy who processed and closed like 23 issues on the DID spec. For those of you that want a summary of the things that we worked on the DID spec at rebooting, there is a report out that I've put in IRC. And that kind of explains like, what's going on at W3C, the DID working groups coming up, hey, we need to fix up some of these issues in the DID spec. Most of it was editorial just to make the spec easier to read. But we also brought up a number of new features that we wanted to discuss, discussions around ABNF syntax. So if you want like a summary of everything that happened at rebooting around the DID spec, that link should be useful to you. And that's it.
Okay. So Manu, are there any particular plans for follow-up side group discussion on this? How do people participate? Is that essentially what the report edits? How do we proceed?
So the next steps are, I think, Drummond and Ken are working on a paper, and I'll let Drummond and Ken speak to that. Amy and I are going to continue to do issue triage. Clearly, we didn't have enough time to get through everything at rebooting, so we're going to keep going on the editorial stuff, contacting the people that raised the issue on the spec to make sure they're okay with the changes that we're getting ready to make. We're just going to continue to process issues. I don't think that there are going to be separate calls for it just yet until we see a need for it right now. Many of these things are editorial cleanups and things of that nature.
Okay, Drummond, you're next.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with Manny. I don't think we need to call on any of the editorial stuff. The calls, and I've been back channeling with Marcus on coordinating a Thursday call with the DID resolution call, so there's already a call on Thursdays. We're trying to figure out if we can have two calls back to back, for the period of time. We just need to work through like the ABNF questions, any other sort of substantial, substantive features, call them feature related things. Hopefully, by the time we're done with that, Manu and Amy are ready with most of the editorial things, and we can bring it all together into a community. What do we call that, Amanda? Community final, community draft final?
Final community group report.
Final community group report. There you go.
Yep. Okay. Anybody else who was at rebooting want to talk about the relationship of their topics or their papers in regards to future CCG possibilities? Okay, I'm going to briefly add in one of my own, which is not necessarily a proposal, but more of a kind of a larger question. This community has some responsibility for a number of cryptographic specifications in the sense of the, for instance, assigning suites for verifiable claims, et cetera. As we advance in the cryptography direction, that means we're going to need to attract more cryptographers and cryptographic engineers to participate in our process. One of the areas that I was successful at rebooting and attracting was some interest in standards around social key recovery, because all of us depend on safe management of keys, hopefully in a decentralized manner, like the rest of the stuff that we're working on. So there's an opportunity potentially to have the CCG consider taking on social key recovery using Shamir, sort of minimum viable product and standards around that, which instead of going to the W3C on completion of CCG work might go to IETF. My hope is that this will be simple enough and scaled enough that we can basically prove to the larger cryptographic and cryptographic engineering community that we're serious about this type of work, attract them into the community so that we can also use them for the other kinds of cryptographic work that we will be standardizing in the future. Don't know if this is a viable direction for the CCG or what, so I just wanted to introduce it as a possible future and see what other people thought. Jonathan, go ahead.
I think this gets back to the terminology or the type definitions in the schemas. So, for instance, Cha-Cha 2020 or Poly 1305 are not in, they're missing. And that's mostly because they're evolving standards. And I suppose it's just how do we keep up that up to date? And also, how do we make sure that it's very clearly which version of Cha-Cha you mean? I think there are three out there.
Yeah, we ran into that with the Shamir standard stuff. So, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to, I don't know if this will flow into work, but this is one of the projects I worked on at Rebooting, along with a couple of other contributors, including Ganesha, I think he's on the call today. We made this thing called Saturn, which is based on Jupiter. And it's Saturn with a Y, just like Jupiter's with a Y. And it may prove useful as a educational tool to help people learn in JavaScript how to work with some of the technologies. Right now, actually, that's the URL I just dropped. Right now we're just in the starter branch. There's nothing in the master branch. Actually, I didn't give you the right URL. Over here, the Saturn branch, the Saturn repo. So anyway, it's a mix up of a Markdown and JavaScript, which you can actually do in Markdown. But in Markdown, most renderers don't render JavaScript as interactive. So Saturn renders JavaScript elements as interactive, so people who are learning whatever you're educating about can try out the code and see the results come on a console box below that. So it's very young, but I'm hoping maybe in the future it might be a useful tool for the CCG.
Okay. Any other report outs from the rebooting work? I'm not hearing any, and that was the end of the list. Oh, Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. One thing around interop testing. So there were a number of organizations that were interested in the credential handler API and interop testing. This is purely for folks that have like browser-based credential repositories or want to do did auth through the browser and things of that nature. There were a number of companies that were interested in using the credential handler API and the polyfill to do that and do like wallet interop and did interop over the next year. So we're currently trying to work with those organizations, bring them into the CCG, figure out how we can do a minimum viable kind of like round trip interop testing with them. So that was a positive thing that came out of it, and that might mean, you know, more than just a handful of us start using the credential handler API. Just as a heads up, you know, large organizations are starting to use the credential handler API, but they're not a part of this community. They're just picking it up and using it because it's kind of there and it works for their needs. So maybe this year there's going to be a little more focus on interop testing. True, like, you know, totally different DID methods, totally different wallets and the issuers and verifier testing that we just, have not been able to get to yet just because of, the necessary work on verifiable credentials and the DID spec. Just a heads up on that.
Okay. Jonathan, go ahead.
So I think just the epiphany that I echoed on the VC call earlier was the, in my case, the DID method IP ID, you can serialize or transform JSON LD on top of IP LD, but you can't go the reverse. It's not quite backwards compatible because we don't have the right MIME types registered with the IETF and IANA yet. And so I think as we mature for interoperability with a DID spec, I think it would be to break the ground in the application flashy JSON as being the and/or to ground as far as interoperability. And then there are...
Wait, Jonathan. Jonathan, one second. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again? The serialization in one direction but not the other?
I filed it under the VC data model as far as the MIME type discussion. So you can transform JSON LD on top of IP LD, but you don't have backwards compatibility because the whole issue I've been sort of raising about these objects and links, how we represent the slash in IP LD. So I have some open issues with the IPFS community to submit the application slash CBOR plus IP LD as being a specific MIME type. And that will actually alleviate some of the issues about interoperability. This gets into a lot of the JWT work too, and verifiable claims, because ultimately the we're trying to agree upon a data model, but we're ultimately have underlying different protocols, like what I'm doing with IPLD. So I've submitted some issues. Hopefully, of course, it's going to take a while to get through with the IETF, but I think it really certainly speaks to in the DID spec, we need to sort of ground ourselves in a serialization format. In our case, JSON is something that I mentioned this in the response to the MIME type, is something that we can sort of ground ourselves because it's human readable. But in the end, like our type is actually really CBOR behind the scenes, which is just a byte array, a serialization byte array deterministic JSON in binary.
Okay. Drummond, go ahead.
Okay, two things. I realized, Christopher, when you asked earlier about our papers and things moving forward from rebooting, I didn't actually talk about the paper that we started that's called Understanding DID in Greater Depth. And the idea being that we wanted a paper that's in between the primer, which is pretty high level, the DID primer. It's very good, but it's very high level. And the spec, which is for many people too low level, and specs aren't really good at explaining things. So that's the doc we've started. We got to start there. It's very, very early stage. But I just wanted to make sure folks knew we want this to be a community doc that helps us explain DIDs in greater depth to a lot of folks that are now asking, you know, those greater depth questions. And the other thing quickly is that I've been texting here with Marcus. There's currently a call on DID resolution every other week on Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. And what we're proposing to do is actually stack two calls, a two-hour block from 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific time or 10 to midnight Central European time on Thursdays, and have the first hour be DID spec and the second hour be DID resolution spec. And folks who are deep into it can just go for all of them, but if you just don't want to do one or the other. And we're just giving a heads up, we'll send an email to the list
what's the other slot? So the first one is DID resolution, and the other one is what?
DID spec. So, and we're thinking we're doing DID spec. Yeah, DID AB&F called DID features. So we'll do the DID spec one first and the DID resolution one second in that 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific time slot on Thursdays. And that works for Marcus, even with his new baby on the way. Well, he might have to miss one or two.
Okay. Great. So there were quite a few other documents that were draft level at the meeting. I wanted to, in particular, to point out some of the so-called softer ones. I wish I had a better word for that, but I wanted to make sure people were aware of them because I think that, you know, we tend in the CCG to be very technical and implementation focused, but I want to, you know, we always want to illustrate that with kind of the larger picture. So in there is the digital citizen. I thought that was interesting work on, you know, what does it mean to be a citizen of the world, a digital citizen of the world, and it tried to apply some commons concepts to that. There was how self-sovereign identity will survive capitalism, which was a look at, you know, what are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And in particular, you know, sort of barriers and how things could go really wrong if we're not careful. There are a number here. There was a beginning by Elizabeth Ranares and team on social legal frameworks of this particular approach to identity. I think they had some very interesting concerns and requirements around the legal side of things like verifiable claims and the information in them, et cetera, that I'm looking forward to them advancing and helping us understand those requirements. What else? There's quite a few in here that are in that category. The crypto jurisdiction. I think Sam did some interesting work on how to drive adoption of self-sovereign identity through a particular scenarios of safety and security that, you know, has a good use case for why that's a good place to leverage to get this going. In the technical side, there was you know, some work on how to use OpenID Connect for DID auth and for verifiable credentials presentation. As the verifiable credentials group, you know, finishes and has their final document approved, it will become more and more the responsibility of the CCG to advance forward things like protocols that use verifiable credentials. So, and at some point, either a new verifiable credentials protocols working group gets chartered or some subgroups get chartered, like a DID auth. I'm not sure what will happen in the long-term future, but a number of these, until they are a formal working group, will be shepherded in this community. Anyhow, there's a lot here. 25 papers is a lot. Not all of these will go to final at rebooting. None of these have the weight of standards. That's not the point of rebooting. The point of rebooting is to allow incubation of things and whether or not the authors wish to submit them to further consensus and intellectual property rigor in the W3C is up to the authors. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to underscore one of the items that you mentioned. So that we had a group that was working on legal things, right? So these were actual folks with a law background, both kind of constructing, their view of what we're doing, which was super helpful. But the thing that was, I think, more exciting to me was that, Katrina and Elizabeth and their team was there to kind of field questions. So we had two new features that we had have been talking about for a while for the DID spec, but we were finally able to say, like, hey, we've got these two new features that we're thinking of putting into the DID spec that have like pretty big legal implications. Like one of them is, what keys do you use to issue verifiable credentials? And the other thing is, what keys do you use to enter into legal agreements? Like think like DocuSign or EverSign, those sorts of use cases. And we were able to kind of run over to their group and say, hey, like we don't need an answer right now, but we just want to put this on your radar. We're thinking of doing this. We would really like some kind of, quote unquote, legal opinion on these features. So it was the first time, or one of the times where we absolutely needed legal, some sort of legal direction. And there were lawyers there that we could just run over, ask them the question, and they're going to think about it over the next couple of months, and get back to us on that. So that was one of the really nice things to see. There is other folks that were not primarily technologists there to help move the community forward. The other thing that was really awesome to see. I'm forgetting the young lady's name. Was it Katie, that did the illustrations for the Yoram stuff?
Katie Gilligan.
Katie Gilligan. She was awesome. Like it was great to have like an artist there that was just that wasn't doing graphic recording. The graphic recording stuff was awesome. And Carlotta did a fantastic job there, but having somebody create artwork for one of the papers was just a really cool thing to see, right? So it was neat to see the community growing into things that were not technology-focused things.
Okay, it's 9:57 and the queue is empty, so I'm going to go ahead and say that this is, yes, that's cool. Okay. I hadn't actually seen that one yet. So,
that's not Katie's photo, by the way. That's from Carlotta.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely Carlotta.
That's the graphic recorder. But the yorumillustrated.md is the draft that Katie got done during the week.
Okay. Anyhow, so if you've got working group work items that you would like us to consider, please get in issues for those after some discussion of them on the list first. So we will be looking at them next week. Hopefully we'll have the one in from the VCWG and get that as our first priority next week, and then we will explore what are the other topics that this group will do next week. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
Thanks
Chris. Cheers.